Hello, this is Richard Miles with BoardGameAuthority.com.
My guest today is Miles Ratcliffe of Chaos Publishing. Miles has an active Kickstarter campaign for his board game, Brave the Elements. Miles, welcome, and thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
Hi, thanks, Richard. Thanks for having me.
Let's get right into it, shall we? Tell everyone about your game, Brave the Elements.
Oh, my game, Brave the Elements. It's our second release as Chaos Publishing. It's a 2 to 4 player game. It's played mainly with cards. Basically, you've got the disaster cards, which you can use in a multitude of different ways. One of the ways is by playing them as disasters, or you can use them to defend against other disasters played against other players. Each of those cards also can be used for their own actions, allows for a lot of options in gameplay. You play those disasters against locations which you have in front of you, and at the start of your turn, you're choosing which locations you want. You start with a set of 4 locations, which is equal for the same players. It's only varying for the different elements, because you have fire, air, earth, and water. That's the premise of the game, the 4 elements.
And so one player is in control of fire, and another player would be in control over water. Is that how it works?
Not exactly. Everyone can use all the 4 elements, although the 4 starting locations work specifically for a type of element. So, like, if you're the water player, you have a water mill, so you can convert your water disasters to be able to use for all the other disasters, because one of the ways you can play your disasters is to support another disaster, adding strength to it, because you're comparing the strength value of a disaster to the defense value of a location to see whether you can actually successfully conjure the disaster against it. So the more defensive locations are harder to take, also worth the more victory points, because the aim of the game is to get the most victory points when taking locations from other players. So the more locations you can take that way, that's more victory points for you. You also get points if at the end of your turn you successfully defended your locations.
Okay.
So it plays out like that.
And how did you come up with the idea for the game?
Came with the idea quite a while ago, and I initially came up with game concept. Some of my early designs were based on sort of classic fantasy types, and then got to the point, although some of my graphics sort of course got told to actually design a board game at that point, so that actually worked quite well for me. And the next point went on to, although that one didn't work out so well, I started working on new ideas, and Brave the Elements was one of the early ideas I had. From there, I just kept developing. The really early version was a lot different from what it is now. 4 is a very simple version where it was a lot more quite random and it was quite unbalanced, although even at that stage it was quite fun to play, as pointed out by some of the early playtesters. But there was the balance issues, which ended up going through a large amount of iterations to get to the point where we're actually happy with it.
And so how many iterations would you say the game has kind of gone through?
Looking at, like, if I were to name the versions, it was like 8 separate versions which are distinct from another, really.
Wow.
Yeah, so it went through quite a lot of developments. I mean, the early one was just very simple, and the next one was developing on from that and brought in a few new mechanics. The game, the next one, ended up being very structured, very balanced, but also very boring. So that was more like an economic exercise, and those are the types of games which I don't really like those so much. It's all about having fun and creating an enjoyable experience for everyone at the table.
Sure, right, yeah. Looking at the artwork of the game and just the card templates themselves, the graphic design, it all looks pretty clean. I'm already a fan of the game just by looking at, you know, what I can see on the Kickstarter page and on your Chaos Publishing website itself. The art, it kind of transports you back to this. It looks like an older world. There's like aqueducts and coliseums and stuff. It definitely has some maybe Greek, Romanesque type feeling to it. Is that the style you were going for, or did that just kind of happen as things were developing?
A bit of both, really. And thanks, Richard, for your con on the artwork. The way we wanted to go about it, as well, particularly with the names, there were so many iterations of just going through the names. I mean, trying to figure out what to call what and trying to get all the distinctive names from one another. And as well, going through that, it sort of moved towards, as well, those types of names. And that sort of background to it actually makes a lot of sense if you think of the elements and how people would go about their lives if that were the case. Because everyone in this world, Brave the Elements, has some ability to control all 4 of the elements. And there's multiple societies. You take command of a society and you lead that society to try and prove that you can control the elements better than the other societies. And you do that because there are priests in these societies, which can have a greater power to control the elements.
Yeah, you essentially just want to dominate the other societies that are around you.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Chaos Publishing, the company that you started. What led to the name of Chaos Publishing?
Yeah, with the name, I just came with the name and stuck with it. Is from that point early on. I mean, I was just researching the game industry at very small scale. I was actually at the time I thought about, and I was after my graphic design course starting the company, and because realized just had such a great time actually putting the design together, creating, doing graphic design work, and creating the whole package, and actually playing games. I've played games and been a part of them all my life. I like the elements of chaos in games that you never really know what's happening. So that's probably the origin of where I went there. And Chaos Publishing thought to me that's quite a catchy name, so stuck with it. And when I pitched the idea to start a games company with my friend and colleague David Inca.
Speaking of David, tell us a little bit about each of your roles within the company.
My role is a lot of roles, and so is David. We take on a lot of tasks. So what I do, I manage the graphic design work and social stuff, social media on Facebook, all that. I also put together spreadsheets and calculate the costs and send through. We discuss them through. I go through the games. I mean, designer of both Brave the Elements and our previous game, Medieval Mastery. And those are the games which pitched to sort of get going with the company. So we got those together and we both developed them together. I designed the game, came with the concept. We brought it to the table, went through loads of iterations and got them into the hands of plenty of playtesters. So we developed the game together a lot. David handles the more of the financial side as well of the business. He's run a number of businesses before, and so he's quite well equipped to deal with that, with starting a new company and getting to grips with all the financial side and managing the business that way.
Okay. And the first game that Chaos Publishing put out is Medieval Mastery, and that game was not a Kickstarter-funded game. Is that correct?
No, it wasn't.
Was that just a timing issue? Were you aware of Kickstarter back when you guys published Medieval Mastery? Or what? Just kind of, can you go into the reasons of like why that game did not show up on Kickstarter?
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons is that Kickstarter itself wasn't available to us in the UK at the time. I mean, if we were to do it, we'd need to outsource and have someone in America be trusted to actually take all the money for us and send it through. And then there's all the fees going back and forth, and then it becomes quite a complication.
Gotcha.
And yeah, and also Kickstarter was very in the early stage of when we were getting ready and already had production all set up and planned to go. And we already got the production process started. We did use Indiegogo as sort of a more pre-order type platform while we were already in production to get people's games in their hands and pre-order for Essen where we released the game.
Okay. Let's talk about the current Kickstarter campaign for Brave the Elements. You chose a long 43-day campaign. And for current Kickstarters, in the board game sector anyway, it seems that most Kickstarters are 30 days or less these days. Can you go into your decision to have the longer campaign?
Yeah, there are a number of reasons to that. Part of the reason as well is that we're not a huge established company, and we've got some audience and people really like a game. People have enjoyed Medieval Mastery. We haven't really established ourselves in the gaming industry as a whole. We've gone through the whole procedure and we know and understand what it takes to actually be a publisher and go through the whole production process, but we're not so widely known that. And as well, because we're a first time Kickstarter, in essence, a lot of the established ones also recommend to have a long time to give yourself a bit more time to actually get yourself noticed on there.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. So how the campaign is performing right now, how are you feeling about it?
Well, it's sort of an uneasy stage at the moment. We're not sure which side it's go, but we're doing our best to actually push forward and schedule interviews like this and making sure it's getting to the hands of reviewers. We've got plenty of great reviews so far of the game. People have really enjoyed it and given their and most respectful the design balance of it. So that's all always been going, already been going really well. It's a matter of getting the word out and making sure people know about. And for us as well, we don't have a huge marketing budget to go ahead and spend out and get advertisements on all the blog sites and on Board Game Geek. We would do that once we know that we do attraction, we can actually fulfill it before, because we have had experience as well. I mean, with our Indiegogo campaign, we also did run a Board Game Geek ad at that time, and based on for it, it didn't add too much and to what the campaign was. We probably got a fair few backers, but it probably didn't make up, we don't think it made up the amount that we actually spent on the advertising at that time. So for advertising, you need to really be sure that you've actually got the traction and are going ahead with things.
So what is the long-term plan for Chaos Publishing? Do you want to open up your doors, so to speak, and publish other people's games? Or are you continuing to focus on some of your own games, or a mixture of both?
Yeah, we've started opening up submissions, and we've been getting a few inquiries from a few designers and getting those in and seeing what we think. I mean, we want to really establish ourselves as a company and really, really grow. I mean, I just really enjoy seeing smiles on people's faces. I mean, it's a bit corny, but it was such a rush the first time we released Medieval Mastery, which was only in its first edition at the UK Games Expo in 2011. And at that time, it was just amazing, getting such a great response from people, the amount of feedback. And based on sort of my skill sets and what I'm able to do, like graphic design and motion, again, hand game design and development, and it sort of fits straight into what I want to do and focus on, and want to develop and create a career out of it, although it's a tricky thing to do, especially when starting out.
Let's talk a little bit more about Brave the Elements just for a few more minutes here. Let's talk about some of the stretch goals. So your stretch goals, at least the ones that are available right now, are all honest upgrades. Like their thicker punch board, better dice, better card stock. So all of those are significant, like that they actually make the game, as far as the components are concerned, better. Was there ever like a conscious decision to say we don't want to have unlocks be additional cards, additional sites, additional things like that, and make it all component upgrades?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a conscious decision. I mean, we really wanted to make sure everyone gets the same great game in the same box, and make it as good as it can be for everyone. I mean, exclusives can be nice to sort of drive some people to the campaign, but I mean, we want to establish ourselves as a lasting company, and we wanted the game to go into retail, and we don't want people being upset and being missing the cards and finding hard to get this one card, which only Kickstarter backers got. I mean, that's always disappointing to hear that you're not never going to have a complete game. Having the component upgrades, we priced them precisely. We were going through with discussions with Panda, who we'll be going into production with, hopefully, making sure that we've got the exact prices lined up. So the more copies we can order, the cheaper each game is per unit. So we can use that savings to make the game better, make the components better, and make it more enjoyable and tactile experience for everyone.
I certainly agree with the logic there. I am in the same school of thought, if we want to call it that, about the exclusives on Kickstarter. It seems that my luck is that I find out about a great Kickstarter after all of the exclusives are already sold out, or the early bird specials, or whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, I want the game on my table. Like that's what I'm looking for. And if I can get the game on the table, and as far as your Kickstarter goes, if I can get the game on the table and you guys unlock some stretch goals and the tokens are thicker or the dice are better because they're engraved instead of silk screened, that's going to make me happier over the long run, because I know that it's going to stand up over time. I know that the numbers aren't going to rub off the dice and the tokens, just a thicker token, just feels better. So over the long run, that definitely makes me happy, and I'm glad that you have. So from that perspective, it seems like you have the gamers, the end users' best interest in hand, and so I applaud that.
Yeah, thanks, Richard.
Yeah, sure, no problem at all. Last things you want people to know about Brave the Elements that you may not have been able to say before this.
Brave the Elements is a very simple game and also complex in strategy. We've had some reviewers say it's either the simplest complex game or the most complex simple game. It fits all together. You get a lot of game into one box, and it's played simply over six phases of a turn, and you can teach the game as you go. You draw cards, you choose a location, put it in front of you, and next phase, you get to play a card from your hand and take its action. The next phase is trying to infiltrate a location, making it easier for you to conjure disasters. And then you go through the conjure disasters phase, conjuring a disaster, going round once, and conjuring disaster again. And then it ends with the turn that you get victory points based on how many locations you've kept at the end of the round. So if you've kept five locations, you get an extra three victory points. While if you've lost one of your locations, you've got four, you get one victory point. It's also kept in the stasis as that you've always got, at the start of each round, it's played over a number of rounds of those phases. Each player has five locations, and there is a way of one of the cards in the deck allows you to get an extra construct an extra location. That's an action, and that's one of the strategies in the game. There are a multitude of different strategies which you build up through the locations. So you've got more defensive locations which offer less victory points to the other players, so you can bring those down so they're not getting as much victory points and you're defending your position a bit more. Or you can go for the ones which allow you to infiltrate better and try and take locations a lot more. Or you can up your conjure disasters, maybe conjure more disasters, and you can always decide that in how you play your actions as well. So a lot of strategy there.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a few different ways that one could choose to employ strategy and then go for the victory. Miles, thank you for taking the time to speak with me today. I wish you all the luck on your Brave the Elements campaign.
All right, thanks again for having me.
I've been your host, Richard Miles, for BoardGameAuthority.com. My guest today was Miles Ratcliffe of Chaos Publishing. You can find this podcast on iTunes. Subscribe, please. That would make me very happy. You can also connect via Twitter at BoardGameAuth, BoardGameAuth. We have a Facebook page. That's Facebook.com/BoardGameAuthority. And as always, there's our website, www.BoardGameAuthority.com. Drop us a line. We would love to hear from you. Tell us who you'd like me to interview next, or tell me that you should be the next guest. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, game on.